Tonight, and we're going to read 30 to verse number 37, and we're going to just look at a neighbor in need tonight. I truly believe in the world that we live in, we see a lot of neighbors in need. And as I go through this tonight, I want to share with you what the Lord shared with me this week. As I sat in my study and I studied this, a neighbor in need, he brought some life application my way, and I want to share it with you tonight. Do you know how many contacts that you have in your phone tonight? Would you know how many contacts that you have in your phone tonight? If you go to your contact page and scroll that thing all the way up, you'll have to do it right now, and you'll get lost in that, and you won't hear a word I'll have to say or the Lord will say from here on out. But if you'll go in your contacts and scroll that thing up, it'll tell you how many contacts that you have in your phone. In my phone, I have a lot of contacts. 690 contacts is what it said. And some of them are deceased. Some of them are still alive. Some of them was missing in action. You couldn't find them if you had to. Can I get an amen? I don't know. I just know the contacts are in my phone. But the Lord asked me, he said, it doesn't matter about the contacts in your phone. What kind of contact are you? If somebody called your phone, how would you respond? If somebody called your phone, that's the only contact that matters, is the kind of contact that you are, a neighbor in need. Luke chapter number 10, and beginning in verse number 25, I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. Luke chapter number 10, and verse number 25. When you have found your place, say amen. And the Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law, and how do you read it? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound him up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, we love you and we thank you for this night that you've given us to come and study a portion of your word. Lord, I pray tonight as we've heard the song sung all night, and Father God, I pray tonight as a blank page is the last song that we heard, I pray when we walk out of this place, we can realize that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we do have a blank page. Lord, I pray tonight that if we see a neighbor in need, we'd be the neighbor that we should be, Father God, and help that individual that might be in need. Lord, I pray tonight that you would guard my throat and guard my thoughts, guard everything that I'd say behind this sacred desk tonight. Father God, as we look into this word tonight, I pray you would illuminate our mind in a mighty way. Father God, I pray that you would guard the ears of the hearers tonight. Lord God, I would ask you tonight in the name of Jesus, if Satan be in the midst tonight, I'd pray that you'd bind him up and cast him out tonight. Get him out the back door tonight, Father. Let liberty be in this place. Let freedom be in this place. Let grace be in this place. Father God, I'd ask you tonight to have your will and way throughout this service tonight. Father, I'd be careful tonight to ask you tonight to bless each and every one that's in this place. Lord, I pray tonight for Hayden and Kinsey and their family as they're in Jackson, Mississippi tonight. Father God, I'd pray you'd bless that baby in a mighty way. Lord, I'd pray tonight, Father, that you would give them traveling grace as they come back home this weekend. Lord God, I'd pray you'd watch over them, take care of them. Lord, bless the reading of your word. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Helping a neighbor or a neighbor in need tonight. As we look into the word of God tonight, a certain lawyer here, He wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus a question. He said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus responded with a parable he could understand, and we can understand as well. Your neighbor tonight, I want you to get this. Your neighbor is whoever you or I come in contact with on a daily basis. 690 contacts in my phone, but the question I ask tonight and the question that's imposed on my life as I read the Word of God is, what kind of neighbor am I? What kind of neighbor am I when a neighbor is in need tonight? You say, "Well, I don't know my neighbor. I can't hardly tell who my neighbor is." I thought of a story that was told, and I heard it preached and told one time about an individual. It was a lady in the town in a community, and she had had a heart attack. And when she had had that heart attack, supposedly her guardian angel come to her, and that guardian angel told her, said, "You're going to be okay. I'm going to guard you the rest of your life. You're going to make it through this heart attack, and I'm going to take care of you." She come through the heart attack all well, and everything went well. Said the woman, when she got done, she went to the gym. She got her a gym membership. She started working out. She went and got her some Botox. Hey, she went and got her hair fixed. She went to the, got all fixed up and beautied up. And as she started coming out of that place where she got her hair done, she stepped out in the road and got run over. And I'm talking about, she was dead laying there. And when she got to heaven, she seen her guardian angel. And she asked her guardian angel, she said, "I thought you was going to take care of me." He said, "I couldn't tell who you was." Hey friends, I want you to know tonight, we must always be the same no matter where we go. We should walk the same and talk the same no matter what neighbor we come in contact with. Hey, the world we living in, hey, need people that's going to be the same. Hey, they're not going to change. If you see them today, they're going to be the same tomorrow. And as we read the Word of God, I want to look into verse number 39. And the Bible says, what kind of neighbor am I? First, I must look at the neighbor that's in need tonight. So let's look at that neighbor that was in need. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves." If I can give you one thing about this man tonight, a neighbor that was in need, this neighbor, he had failed. He had took a fall, and he was in a bad position. He was in a dangerous situation. Friends, I want to say to you tonight that this neighbor fell among the thieves. And when he fell there, I'm reminded in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says that the thief cometh not. Hey, he fell among thieves. And you know what a thief will do? He comes not to do but one thing, to steal and to kill and to destroy. Friends, when he fell among these thieves, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to take everything he had. I want to ask you tonight, have you ever had a fall in your life and you felt like everything in your life was coming to an end? You felt like there was no hope. There was no way out. Look what the Bible says. Not only this neighbor had a fall, hey, but he had been stripped. Everything that he had been stripped from him. There was nothing left. There was nothing about him that you would admire. There was nothing about him that you would want. There was nothing about him that you would entertain. Hey, but I want you to know, he was still a neighbor and he was still in need. Look what the Bible says. "And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thieves and was stripped of his raiment, and he was wounded." Hey, when you have a fall, not only will you be stripped, hey, but you may be wounded when you fall. Hey, I know in my life and in your life, there's times in my life that I've been wounded and I needed somebody to help me along life's way. He said that he was wounded, and when they departed, they left him half dead. Hey, the crowd that I used to live with, the crowd that I used to run with, you know what they would do? They would leave you half dead. Hey, when the fun was over and the times was gone and they got all they could get out of you, they would leave you right where they had found you. Friends, tonight he says in the Word of God, let's look at the neighbor. The neighbor fell. The neighbor was stripped. The neighbor was wounded. But I see something else in verse number 30, the neighbor was all alone. He was half dead. There was nobody there. I don't know about you tonight, but when I get alone, it ain't long, I'll get desperate. And I'll be looking to call out to somebody. And this man, he, if you will, just go down this journey with me for a little while. We're going to look at three contacts that the neighbor that had failed, who he had contacted. And I want to look at three different men that he contacted. And I want you to ask yourself the same question I asked myself this week: which kind of contact are you? Which kind of contact are you if you see a man that has failed? You see a man that is stripped. You see a man that is wounded. You see a man that's lost all he's got. There's no potential. He wouldn't do no good for the church. He wouldn't be able to tithe. He wouldn't be able to sing. He wouldn't be able to do nothing. Would he still be worth witnessing to? And as your pastor tonight, I say to you, there's not one soul that you'll meet on life's highway that you must witness to. You must witness to all of them. We must be a neighbor to each and every individual that we come in contact with. Can I get amen? Hey, a neighbor in need. Contact number one. Let's look there in verse number 31. The contact number one. And the Bible says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Contact number one. If you was wounded and you was beat down this week, who would you contact this week? Contact number one, let me give you him. He is the cold and callous religious leader. He's the one that's cold and callous. And here's what they say. Here's what contact number one says. Contact number one says he got what he deserved. He shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have went that way. He should have went another way. He shouldn't have went down that path. Hey, you can see his background. You can see his heritage. You knew he was going to live that way. Friends, I want you to know that's not how God talks. Let me give you this. Contact number one, he was a religious leader, but he was cold and callous. Look what the Bible says. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. He was going the way anyway. He could have helped. And when he came, he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Number one, he got what he deserved. He made his bed. Let him lay in it. Cold and calloused says he made his bed, let him lay in it. Cold and callous says he got what he deserved. Cold and callous, let me give you this, they heard him calling, but he forwarded the call. This man was wounded. I was talking to the church tonight, amen. Let me just talk to the church. That's all I want to do, and we'll go on. He said to contact number one, the first man that come in contact with this man, after he had been stripped and wounded and left half dead, he came by him and he passed by on the other side. He seen him laying there. He seen him in the dump. He seen him in the dumpster. He seen him dead. He seen him doomed. He seen him defeated. He seen everything on his life, and that minister passed on by. He didn't want to get involved. Friends, I want you to know, he seen the call, but he forwarded the call. He seen the text, but he ignored the text. He seen the illustration, but he ignored the illustration. That contact number one, the first person that come in contact, had all the information the man needed. He had the help he needed, and he had the way that he needed. He seen his condition, but he passed on by. He heard the knock, but he wouldn't come to the door. Ooh. Now that's contact number one. I would ask you this, do you have them contacts in your phone? I would ask you this, if they contact your phone, would you be that kind of contact? He says, when he read the word, man, I just got to share it with you, the way he gave it to me this week, that neighbor that's in need. He says this, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He just didn't want to get involved. I would ask you, in the weeks of your life since you've been born again, have you seen situations that you could have helped somebody, but you just didn't want to get involved? Folks, I want you to know something. If people's going to come to know Christ, we're going to have to get involved. If people's going to come to know Christ, we're going to have to get involved. Let me tell you what the church has got to do. I'm just going to tell you what we got to do. Number one, as a church, if we're going to get involved, number one, we got to reach up first. Hey, we got to reach up before we ever go out and get involved. We got to be praying. Hey, we got to reach up. Hey, we got to reach over to the people on the inside of the building, and then we got to reach out. Friends, I want you to know, when this priest came by, he had everything he needed to give that man what he needed, but he passed on by. That's contact number one. He just passed on by. But let me give you contact number two. Contact number one out of 690 just passed on by. Ask yourself right now, the contacts that's in your phone, if somebody was in need, would they contact you? If I was in need, if you was in need, could you contact me? Contact number two, let me share this with you. Look what he says here in verse number 32. And likewise, he says somebody else is passing by. But look, get this. We see what this man did, the priest, but look what the Levite did. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Contact number one was cold and calloused. Contact number two was curious but unconcerned. He was curious but unconcerned. He had a legalistic background. He was legalistic. He was a Bible scholar, if you would. And let me give you what he had here. Contact number one was cold and callous. Contact number two was curious but unconcerned. Oh, glory. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he had all the right answers. You get this. He has all the right answers, this Levite does. He has all the right answers, but he gives no effort to give him what he needs. He has all the right answers, but he does no effort to give this man what he needs. This world that we live in and the world we live in, it's broken and it's desperate and it's looking for answers. Hello, church, you've got all the answers they need, and his name's Jesus. His name's Jesus Christ. Number one, he had all the right answers. And if you would, he was curious. He was all up in his Kool-Aid. And as Kaylee tells me, Daddy, you're all up in my Kool-Aid and you don't even know what flavor. I didn't get that for a long time. That means I was nosy. I was right up in it. You said, what does a curious, unconcerned person do? Hey, I heard so-and-so was in Tupelo in the hospital. Tell them the outcome, but they never make the visit and go to the hospital. You know the neighbor down the road, and I'm just telling you what's on my heart, what he showed me this week. Curious and unconcerned. We have all the prayer requests that comes in. We have all the things come in. We're curious about it, but we're unconcerned to do anything about it. This man was laying there half dead. I'm telling you, he was done. He was empty. He was done. And this man comes by, and he's cold and callous. And then another man comes by, and he is curious, but he's unconcerned. And it says that he was right at the place where the man was, and he went on by. It said that he came to the place. He came and looked at the problem he was in. He came and looked at the place he was in. He wanted to know what was going on, but he didn't want to lift a finger to do anything about it. The Lord pressed on my heart this week. How many times, Pastor? Do you see the problem? You see the pain the person's in? You have the right answer, but you don't do nothing about it. Folks, I want you to know as a church, we have the ability to do something about a lost and dying world, and his name's Jesus. This ain't going to sit good tonight. I know it ain't, because it didn't sit good with me. Man, it stirred my heart in a mighty way. But when it don't sit good, I have to do something about it. I have to get it right. He said, number one, that man was cold and calloused. Next, that man was curious. Contact number two, he was curious, but he was unconcerned. I want to ask you tonight, do you know how many people is concerned about you? All the way through that contact list of my phone as I went down it, I seen people. How many is concerned about you? But more than that, the Lord told me, how many of them contacts in your phone are you concerned about? Man, it's all about my relationship with Christ and your relationship with Christ. I don't want this church and I don't want this pastor to get cold and calloused. I do not want to get there. Cold and calloused where I hear about it, but I don't even go by and look on it. I just go on by. I sure don't want to get curious and unconcerned where I see the problem. I go look on the problem, but I do nothing about it. Y'all get what I'm saying? I've said this all the time. People don't care what you know as long as they know you care. People could care less what you know. Brother Keith, can I get an amen there? Hey, you can be whatever you want to be in life, guys. Women in here, you can be whatever you want to be. People don't care what you know as long as they know you care. That's what they do. Let me give you something else about this man. He had got to that place, and he had done got curious and unconcerned. He was at the right place. He had the opportunity to help. He was at the place. He was a looker, but not a helper. He had an opportunity to help. This man also had an obligation to help. Look what he says here. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Passed by on the other side. The other day, I was going down this road by the church, and I got down here, and there's a Toyota pickup stuck out here in the middle of this field, and he was slinging mud, son. And there I am with my chrome wheels, and I sure didn't want to get off in that mud hole. I pulled up, and I said, do you need any help? He said, man, I drive a Toyota. This thing will come out. I said, okay. And it came out. And he said, by the way, I've seen a lot of cars come up and down this road, not one person stopped and asked me, do I need help? Who are you? Who are you? There's people asking all week long, who are you? Who are you? When they're in need, they're going to ask, who are you? Will you help me? Folks, people are crying out right now in the world we live in. I need help. I need help. I need help. I need help. Look what he says here. He was a looker, but not a helper. He had an obligation to help, but he opted not to help. I wrote this down. Don't even go if you ain't gonna sow. Don't even go if you ain't gonna sow. Contact number one was cold and calloused. I have to admit to you, as your pastor, there's been times in my life I've been cold and calloused. If you'll be truthful, you've been cold and calloused. I don't have time for this. You had Monday through Friday. Why didn't you call Ben? It's Saturday. We done got plans, baby. And then my loving wife, oh, how sweet, BJ. I know, baby. I got to admit, I've been cold and calloused. If you be honest, you have to. I've got to admit, I've been curious and unconcerned. Hey, brother, I don't really know, but I heard. Hey, I tell you what, when you find out, what about give me a call, let me know. Okay, all right, bye, click. Ring, ring. Yeah, man, that's truly happened. They had a bad automobile accident, and man, they're in need and barely can. Okay, all right, click. Curious, but unconcerned. But I thank God that there's another contact in my phone, there's another contact in the Word of God. Contact number one was cold and callous. Contact number two was curious and under concern. But let's look at contact number three for a little while. I love the word but. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The third contact that can be in your phone, and you can be that contact, that has compassion. This Samaritan was an outcast, or if you will, he was a half-breed. They had nothing for them. You know that in John 4:9, the Samaritan woman asked Jesus, said, what, you being a Jew, have dealings with me being a Samaritan? They had no dealings. But this man, he'd done been beaten down, he'd done been stripped, and this man saw him, and he had compassion. If there's one thing that this church and this pastor needs in my life, is I need to have compassion for whoever it is. You know what? I don't understand this, and I can't wrap my mind around this. When I go out and you go out and we witness to a lost world and we go to an individual and they're drinking, we can overlook it and we still witness. We can go to an individual, they can blow smoke in your face and we're overlooking trying to win them to Christ. We can go to that same individual, he can cuss every breath and we can tolerate it trying to lead them to Christ. They can do all kind of things in the world that we live in. And we show them compassion, but one place that I find in my life I have the least compassion, and if you be honest, you will too, it is in the house of God. We think when a man, woman, boy, or girl comes to know Christ, everything's about them is supposed to change immediately as soon as you snap a finger. Friends, I want you to know Christ showed compassion to me while I were yet a sinner. Christ died for me. He said on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He showed compassion. When this Samaritan came, he showed compassion on this man. If there's one thing I want to do in 2021, I want to reach up to God with compassion. I want to reach over to you, Brother Hagin, with compassion, and I want to reach out to the community with compassion. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be callous. I don't want to get curious and unconcerned. I want to have compassion for the next man that I come in contact with. Can I get an amen? Hey, we must have compassion. Compassion is what's going to bring people to know Jesus Christ. It's going to open that door. It's going to give them the opportunity to see what Christ is about. Hey, I want you to know it ain't doom and gloom when you come to know Jesus Christ. It's the biggest party you've ever had. It's the funnest time you'll ever have in your life when you come to know Jesus. Amen. So he said here, when this man got here, he seen him. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to show compassion on him. And look what he did. He said when he got there and he showed this compassion, I love this. Contact number three, when he had compassion, number one, he loved him up. He loved him up just like he was. He had nothing to offer to him, but he loved him up. And when he was there, he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound him up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Number one, he loved him up. Number two, he lightened him up. Not only did he love him, but he lightened his load. took his burden on him to lighten his load a little bit. Number one, he loved him up. Number two, he lightened him up. And number three, he lifted him up. He took him, put him on his beast. Hey, that man couldn't walk. He'd done been beat down. He needed a time where somebody else was going to walk for him just a little bit. Somebody else was going to come up underneath him and hold his arms up just a little bit. Folks, as a church, we need to hold up the next man just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Let me give you this. Not only love him up, lighten him up, lifted him up. Let me give you this. He housed him up. He housed him. He gave him a roof over his head. Not only housed him up, but he helped him up. He didn't leave him where he found him. And I don't believe when the man gets born again, you are to leave him where he finds him. You are to pour into him or her as much as you can. You must pour into them as much as you can, and you must show compassion to that individual. And one thing as a church, and I'm just talking to church tonight, that we do not have compassion in is when that individual don't act like we act and don't do what we do. That compassion's hard. I know it is. I know. They may not act like we act. They may not dress like we dress. They might not do what we do. But folks, I want you to know, there must be compassion for that next man. He housed him, he helped him, and he was humble toward him. He was humble toward him. You know what he did when he helped him? He helped him without anything in return. He just helped that next man. If there's anything in 2021 that we need to do, we need to help that next man. We need to help that next individual and be a crutch to help, to lean on. You said, well, being a crutch can hinder them, it can hurt them. Now, you can't crutch them all their life. Amen? Brethren, you which in a fault, restore one another, help one another. So that man's able to get to the place, Galatians 6:1, where he can help himself. But we must help one another. As I thought this week about the contacts that's in my phone, 690 contacts. I didn't think about who was cold and calloused. I thought about who I was cold and calloused toward. I thought about it. As a pastor, who I done got cold and calloused toward. I'd ask you a question tonight. Your contacts, who have you done got cold and calloused toward? At one time, you was beating the door down trying to get them to come to church. Man, you were loving on them, showing them compassion, loving all over them. And then after a while, you just became cold and callous. And then maybe there's some contacts in there that you're not just cold and callous at, but you done got curious but unconcerned about. You still wonder what they're doing, how they're doing, but you're just really unconcerned. Just really unconcerned how they're really doing. But as I looked at them contacts, and I started all the way in the alphabet and went down, I looked at every one of them, and every name in that contact, as I looked at, I'd say, know that individual. Not a contact in that phone that I don't know them personally somehow. And I'd get to an individual and it'd say, it'd have their name and they're dead. But I couldn't make myself delete that contact. I just went on to the next one. Just went on to the next one. And I said, Lord God, please allow me to have compassion as a pastor of that church. Please allow me to have compassion not only as a pastor but as a Christian. That I don't get to a state in my life where I'm cold and I'm calloused and unconcerned about lost and dying people going to hell. But I have a concern about them. And I want to give you the last thing in closing, what he gave me. As I looked at that contact, I said, contact number one, contact number two, and contact number three. But he said, there's a fourth contact in this text. And it's the man telling the story, and his name's Jesus. He said, the only way that you're going to be able to not be cold and callous, preacher, the only way that you're not going to get where you're just curious and unconcerned, the only way you're going to have compassion is that you stay in contact with the one that tells the story. His name's Jesus. He said, who's your neighbor? And he asked that man a question. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked him a question. He said, which one of these do you think? Which one of these do you think? When I studied on that, which one of these you think, I thought the same thing as that man. The one that showed mercy, the one that showed compassion, and the one that showed grace. I would ask you a question tonight, church. if it was said in the community about Union Chapel Baptist Church, would it say that we're full of compassion? Maybe you're sitting there and you say, well, I know so-and-so is. Well, if you're born again, you're part of the church. Amen. Would it be said in the community that we're full of compassion? Or would it be said in the community that we're curious and unconcerned? Or would the community say, I tell you what, you go over there, they're cold and calloused. I pray that they say that's a church over there that has compassion, that loves the next man, the next woman with compassion. You know, I'd never known about him if it wasn't for her talking about the church. I'd never known about Jesus if it wasn't for her. The church doing what the church does, showing me love, showing me compassion. Could not understand. Then when I got saved, I didn't have nothing. I tell this all the time, I didn't have nothing. We didn't have nothing. We were washing baby bottles in the bathroom tub. Washing baby bottles out in the bathroom tub. First Christmas Kaylee had. I'll never forget this. The WMU from the church I was attending brought Christmas to her. And I said, why would people want to love on us? Because they had compassion. They don't care what we know, as long as they know we care. And I'm going to ask you one question before we have a song of invitation. What kind of neighbor are you? What kind of neighbor are you? I pray when you walk out of here tonight, you can say, I'm a neighbor that has compassion for the next man, because I'm concerned about his soul. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you when this lawyer, he came, he had to know, who is my neighbor? Just who is my neighbor? Father God, you gave him three different illustrations in the Word of God. And Lord God, tonight, as a church, you're giving us three illustrations tonight. And you're saying the only way we can have compassion is to look toward you. Lord, tonight, I want to be full of so much compassion tonight for the next man. Father, that he see you all over my life. Lord God, whoever it is in here tonight that needs just a touch from you, I pray tonight you touch their life in a mighty way. Father God, I thank you that when you hung on the cross of Calvary, you showed compassion on us. You took our place where we should have been, and you took our place. Lord, this week as we go out into the community as a church, Father God, I pray we have compassion in each and everything that we do. Lord God, I pray we let our light shine so bright that they can see you and glorify your name. This in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name, all of God's people said. Amen. I ask you.